We're having some issues with the crowd mic this morning. It doesn't affect you besides you hear the feedback, but if you're at home listening, it will affect you because you're not going to hear the crowd or the singing this morning. So just so you know that if you're watching online with us, you're not going to hear the crowd very well this morning because of that mic. So if you would turn with me in the Bible this morning, we ended our series on our Advent series, and so I want to just talk to you this morning. It's committed to a new year and a new way of life. And so next week, Saturday, is the new year already. And I just wanted to give you a sermon around that. I'm going to challenge you in some areas of your life. Just to look at, you know, how are you living, what's going on, and what can we do to make for a more enjoyable, a more happier life. Of course, we know that the Lord calls us to live at peace with everyone. And we're just going to challenge that this morning, according to the word of the Lord. And there's going to be some difficult things that are going to come across here. Some things that are kind of hard for us as well as Christians and just as human beings to do. And so I'm just going to challenge in that area this morning. Bear with me. I'm going to go through three different sets of verses out of three different books of the Bible this morning. But I'm going to use each one of these verses in my message today. So if you want to begin at the book of Romans, chapter 6, then we'll go to chapter 12. And then we're going to flip to Philippians and then to Colossians. So let's begin at Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. All right, now let's go to chapter 12, verse 18. This is a good verse for us. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay? Let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, about page 1826 or so, somewhere in there. And then I'm going to read two verses there, verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And here's what I want to... So the whole focus of my message this morning is the last part of verse 13. I'm going to read that to you one more time. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. All right? That's what Christ calls us to in our life. So then also, if you turn to the book of Colossians with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It's the book right behind Philippians. And let's read that one verse as well. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's our message this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning and read several verses from your word today. We pray that you just bring those verses to light. Lord, may you just fill us with your spirit that we have understanding and knowledge of your word, Lord. Lord, teach us again your ways. Lord, I pray for these words to be yours and not mine. I pray you fill me with that same spirit. And Lord, may that same spirit rest on your people today. In Jesus I pray, amen. This morning I want to talk to you about some resolutions. Some commitments. How many of you are like to make resolutions at New Year's? To try something new or to maybe stop something or do something different or whatever it might be? And I can tell you one of the most common resolutions, you're going to eat better and you're going to be healthier and you're going to try to lose a few pounds of weight and all that. And I get that. But what I'm going to talk to you this morning about is some resolutions that will help you live a better way of life in 2022. And it has to do with the word of the Lord this morning. And so let me just offer these things to you. I guarantee you that if you decide that, you know what, I'm going to commit to these things, I guarantee you, you will enjoy 2022. But I also will tell you that when I share these with you this morning, that they're going to be difficult and hard and not always easy to do as you live life. Because you got to kind of own the way you live and the things that maybe you've done in your past. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So I'm going to challenge you to make four new commitments this new year. And so, just like I said, they're going to take a little bit of work. So here's your first commitment that I want to share with you this morning. Now, I want to challenge you this morning to forget your failures. How many of you failed in here before? All right? The rest of you just don't admit it. That's the deal going this morning, right? But we failed in our life. And so I want to talk to you about what God says about when we fail. Because we do fail, right? We fail at different things. We fail at things that come at us in life. And so I want to share with you, and so I'm going to break these verses out to you as well. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Meaning that he's striving to get this, right? Paul is struggling at this in life, and he says, forget what is behind. Don't go there, is what he says. Move on from that in your life. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. You don't have to live a life that's imprisoned by our past. Because Jesus has come to do what to you and I? Set us free, right? And a lot of us, we need to hear that word of God to be set free from the past in our lives. You know, and if I was to ask you this morning, could you give me a record of the great things that you've accomplished over your life? And some of you would struggle at finding those things. But if I asked you, can you tell me what things have you failed at in your life? You keep a mental record going, don't you? Of all those things that you failed at in your life. You see, and that's what Jesus says. I don't want you to live that way. I come to set you free of those things. But why do you continue to hang on to them? Because that's not how he wants us to live. Right? We keep a record of our failures in our minds, don't we? For many of us, our failures, they might be painful memories. And maybe for you, it's a memory of how you've failed in a relationship. Because those are the hardest things that we struggle with in our life. Maybe it's a memory for you of how you failed in that relationship. Maybe you made the wrong decisions. Maybe you said the wrong things. Maybe you've done the wrong things. Some of you are parents. You maybe failed your children. Children, maybe you failed your parents at some time in your life. You've let them down. Maybe we failed ourselves in some ways. You've had higher expectations of what's going on in your life and where you find yourself at. And I guarantee you, all of us have failed God at one time or another. And we will continue to do that in our lives because we are not perfect people. We're sinful people. And so what God's word is saying to you and I this morning here is that we do not and must not allow ourselves to be bogged down by our past failures. He doesn't want us to live there. That's not where he wants us to be. So don't dwell on your past. I truly believe that it keeps you from moving forward in your life with God's plan. Because life is messy. Hard things happen in life. But God says, I want you to navigate them to the best of your ability, but then move on in life. And we're going to get into this, you know, other commitments that will help you understand, you know, how do I move on? What does that look like in my life? There's hard things that have gone on in our lives. So I want you to say to yourself this morning, with the help of God, that you will forget your past and that you will move on to a new, brighter future in 2022 through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Think about those things. Don't torture yourself anymore because Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven from those failures, from those regrets, from those mistakes that we have in our life. Now here, the next one I'm going to share with you is probably one that we struggle with the most. When you and I get hurt by something or somebody or whatever it might be, we like to hold a grudge, don't we? The second thing that I want you to think about, and I want you to give up your grudges in 2022. All right? Colossians 3 verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, a grievance is a grudge. And it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, this is probably one of the harder ones you're going to have to work at this year. When you have to go to somebody and say, you know what, I'm sorry for what I've done. I need to ask for your forgiveness. I made a mistake. I said the wrong things. I did the wrong things. I cheated you. Whatever it might be. Whether it's a coworker or a family member or a neighbor, whoever it might be. But I think that God's telling us this morning in this verse is that it directly and personally that we are to give up our grudges that we have against others. And maybe I need to help define a grudge here in just a little bit as well. But what it means is that we forgive each other. If you think about quarrels that you've had in this past year, maybe even previous years, God says, get that stuff behind you. Let go of it. Because it weighs you down. Okay? It affects how you live your life. And so let me just share with you what a grudge really looks like. A grudge is a deep, ongoing resentment that we continually work up in our lives against someone else. And it affects your heart. It affects how you deal with that individual, maybe the things you say or don't say or things you do or don't do in your life. But you know what? A grudge is really an unforgiving spirit that leads to an unforgiving attitude, and it leads to unforgiving actions in our lives. And Christ says, I don't want you to live there. That's not how I designed you. Right? So harboring a grudge is an ongoing dislike for someone that you might have. So what you need to know is that grudges are dangerous because they're destructive. Now, I want you to think about this in life. Grudges destroy marriages. Grudges break up families. Grudges ruin friendships. Grudges even split churches. How many of you heard the phrase, you know, dig in your heels, right? Have you been there before? Right, some of us, we like to dig in our heels because we're not very good at it. So last night, let me just show you an example of it. We are playing Monopoly in our family table. And I'm losing. And so what do? It's about 10 o'clock at night and I'm getting tired. And so I go and I buy all the houses I can. I go completely financially broke and I just get out of the game and I go to bed. That's what I did. I thought, I know how to end this. I know how to get out of this, right? But I was digging in my heels, and my boys were just kicking me all over the place in the game. And Dory, she's sitting there next to me. She's yawning. She's getting tired as well. I'm like, yeah, I got to get up and preach. That was my excuse. But I dug in my heels, didn't I? I said, I know how to end this. I know how to get out of this. But, you know, my boys are just loving it. But, you know, I want you to think about life in general. What do we do with people as we live life? Now, that's a funny story, but think about the reality of life when we dig our heels in against situations that we find ourselves in, whatever it might be, a family member or a neighbor or a coworker. What are the things that you and I do, right? That Christ says, there's no room in your heart for stuff like that. I don't want you to live that way. Why do you carry that burden around, right? Be free of that, is what he says. And so he says to you and I, give that up. Get rid of it, is what he wants us to do. All right? Let me share just a couple other things with you this morning on forgiveness. Some of you need to forgive a partner for maybe a grievance or emotional or physical abuse. Some of you need to give up a grudge that you have against someone at work because of the way that you've been treated. Some of us maybe need to give up a grudge that stems from an argument that we've had with someone in our lives. Some of us maybe need to give up a grudge against somebody that we go to church with, that we sit across the pew from, that we've had problems with or issues with for maybe a long time in our lives. So I want you to think about grudges that you might have in your life. So now here's where it's going to get a little more real for you when I say this next sentence to you. Don't tell God you can't forgive, right? Because here, in essence, what you're saying is that you won't forgive. And if you have a heart that won't forgive, you're in a very rough place in your spiritual life, okay? And I pray that God will soften your heart and that you can be willing to forgive and to let go of those types of things that come into your life. That's hard to do. And that's, remember I said this is going to be, there's going to be a little bit of work here for you this morning, and this isn't always easy, but I guarantee that if you can live in that hard spot, God will give you blessings like you wouldn't believe when you can live there in that area of life. So I'm going to challenge you to work on that in your life. So the question that really comes down to the grudge, will you get rid of the grudges, is will you do it? All right? Because I guarantee you, most of you, you're probably going to hang on to them. Right? But God says, let those things go. You're going to enjoy life so much more when you can be free of that. And okay, now here, it's going to lead to the next thing. The third commitment that you and I need to make for this coming year is to restore your relationships in your life. Romans 12, verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, there's some key things that I want to bring out to you here this morning. God is personally challenging each of us to do all we can to restore and to live at peace with people that you and I live with in our world, within our lives. The Lord wants us to do everything we can to restore a broken relationship that may have gone wrong in your life. Now, here is where I'm going to make some exceptions that I want you to pay attention to. Some relationships might have gone wrong in our lives because of what other people have done. They might not want that relationship restored. All right? Now, notice it doesn't say in here that you live in a broken relationship and you are the result of that broken relationship, but you had nothing to do with it and you have no way to restore that. God says that it depends upon you. And also notice at the end of that verse, if it's possible. And so not all relationships are going to be possible for you to restore because you're not responsible for what might have happened. But it's a broken relationship. And so in that verse, when it says that, to live at peace with someone, it depends upon you and where you find yourself. And what he's saying is that if you're the instigator, if you're the culprit because of that broken relationship, then you need to do the work of restoring it. That's our responsibility. But if you've been wronged and something's happened in a relationship and the other person has come against you and said, you know, I want nothing to do with you anymore, you can't control that part of the relationship. That's between them and God. So not every relationship can be restored. Because just because of the broken world that you and I live in. And it's hard to do, and you might have a desire to restore that relationship, but it might not happen. But you are to do your part, is what Scripture says. All right? Let's get back to the relationships about you and I. What can we do, right? And we've done our part to maybe break up some relationships in our lives over the last several years, whatever it might be in your life. So when God's word says, here, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone, it is saying that if you caused a rift in a relationship, then you have a responsibility to do everything you can to restore it. You go back to the person. You ask for forgiveness. You try to make things right. It's up to them if they accept your forgiveness or not, but that's not on you. You need to do your part, and you need to live according to the way that the Lord wants us to live in our life. And that's where you're going to find it difficult to do, is asking for that forgiveness. I wonder how many relationships are not all they should be or could simply because someone won't say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. How many relationships could you restore if we would do more of that in our life? How much joy would you have in your life? You know, we just came off of Christmas and families were together, and I guarantee you there's still strife in families and so on. And I've been preaching to you guys long enough. I've been living with you all my life, and I know that there's not such a thing as a perfect family out there. There's strife, there's rift, there's things that go on in families, and that's normal. But what are you doing to do your part in that relationship, right? What are we doing to restore those things? How are we loving people in those types of situations in our life? Here's the fourth one that I want to bring out this morning with you. And this one's probably made me a little bit harder. And it says, turn your back on your transgressions. Now, if I could use a different word besides transgressions, I would use the word turn your back on sinful ways. It would be another way I could put that to you this morning. I want to share something with you this morning, a picture of what sin might look like in our lives. And I'm going to use an analogy of the American Civil War. Now, most of you know that the Civil War was fought over slavery in the 1860s in our country. But do you know that when that Civil War was won, the North won and the slaves were set free? But did you know that most slaves continued to live with their masters and continued to work for them? They never left their master. And you might be thinking, why would you do that? Correct? Because that was a way of life that they became so used to. They must have felt safe in that lifestyle, but they didn't want to leave that umbrella of safety and work and provision and food for something that would have been better for them. But did you know that sin can often be the same way in our life? We let that one sin come into our life, and we let it control us, we let it work at us, and we're afraid to leave it because it might feel a need or it might feel good, and we're afraid to move from it. And God says, I want you to move from it because it's hindering you. It's blocking your full relationship with me. It's weighing you down. You might even know it sometimes of maybe the way that it affects you emotionally and physically and so on in your life. And that's what Romans 6 verse 12 says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Right? It's so subtle. Just like those slaves in living with their masters. You know, I'm free, but I think I'll just stay right here. See, sin can be the same way. So I want you to think about your personal life this coming week, and what's that look like? You know, what are some of my sinful ways that I need to get rid of? You know, one of the most common things that I think about is, you know, what are those things that we have as idols in our lives that take the place of God, right? And we can think of many if you really want to think about them. You know, how many of us, we get into situations in our life, and sometimes we allow money to control that, right? We find safety in that. Sometimes we find safety in maybe our friends or our family and not really in God. Sometimes you might find safety in indulging in things that we maybe overindulge in, right? And we seek those things to fill our needs in life, and God says, I'm what you need. Right? I'm the manna of life. I'm the bread of life. But yet, where do we go searching for our desires in our life? Go after God this year. Go after His Word. Be in the Bible. Learn His ways. Let Him fill your needs. Because God says you're no longer a slave to sin. So don't act like you're living underneath that umbrella anymore. Be free of that in your life. So here's my last challenge for you this morning. This is not another commitment that you need to make, but it's kind of wraps things all up for us, and it's up in the yellow box. It says this: will this new year be just a calendar-changing event for you, or will you be willing to rise to the challenge from God's Word and to make these commitments and make it a life-changing event for you? So what are you going to do with that today? As I give you the Word of God here this morning and some things to work on in your life, so I want you to think about New Year's this year. Are you just going to let the calendar flip over to a new year and just let it be as is? Or are you going to let it be a life-changing event in your life? That's what I want to challenge you with today. I wish all of you a happy New Year. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to forget our failures. Help us to give up our grudges. Help us to restore our relationships, Lord, and may we turn our back on our transgressions. Lord, may you help us do that in this new year. May we live free of those things, Lord. May we be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and your Word today. Lord, we look forward to a new year with you. Lord, we pray for blessings. We pray for a good health and many other things as we enter into this new year. Lord, it's a chance for us to hit the restart button in our lives. Lord, we get to do that with you every day. But so may this new year be different than the others. Lord, may we rise to the occasion, the things you call us to in our lives. In Jesus I pray.